Welcome to this edition of The B Word, the show where we dig into and attempt to demystify everything to do with B2B branding, what it really is, how it works, and why it matters for businesses. My name's Jesse. I'm co-founder of branding agency Design by Structure and your host for today's episode, in which we're going to talk about harnessing the power of brand with friend of the firm, Simon Littlewood. Simon is CEO of S2 Global, a company rethinking the way motivated talent in businesses and organizations access, engage, and complete professional learning and career training that advances not only their careers and their professional learning, but also their companies too. Simon's passionate about helping businesses and talent in those businesses reach their potential, and a company we're particularly proud of working with. So a huge, huge thank you and pleasure to welcome you. Thank you for joining us, Simon.
Likewise. What a pleasure, Jesse. Thank you for the invitation.
So Simon, would you best tell us a little bit about your background, your journey to where you are today, and that point where it led you to setting up S2 with your colleagues, your co-founders, that journey to that moment when you set up S2, please, Simon.
So my journey was a career in consulting and professional services, really working with some of Europe's fastest growing businesses. And across that, the opportunity to work at on sort of national scale behavioral change programs. And that was really the focal point, working at a policy level, whether that's sort of chairing apprenticeship trailblazer groups for government, at organizational level, consulting with hundreds of businesses, particularly around skills, training challenges, those sort of areas, and at individual levels with just listening to learners about what really makes training effective, and also just the litany of just awful training experiences people have had. And so for us, that felt like a real gap and an opportunity in terms of the gap between sort of what training's meant to achieve and what actually works in the real world. And what we've done with S2 is really to blend some of those characteristics of the sort of things we're really deliberately and intentionally put together programs that help people who believe they can make a difference, have all of the attributes, all of the support around them to actually do so.
Was that in large part then the trigger for S2? Like, you'd worked in these consulting businesses, you'd seen those kind of growth journeys that businesses have gone through, like operational challenges, scaling the business, raising funding, where we sit, sorting out the brand, making sure it's market fit. There's all those kind of challenges that make up a firm. But was that the trigger? Was it seeing that what was available in the market just wasn't really fit to purpose? It wasn't really getting engaged with those people in the business. Was that really the driver, Simon?
There's a real misalignment that we saw between the sort of the various different objectives at play. So you've got sort of organizations very clear about their objectives. You've got policy very clear about what they're trying to do in terms of where there's funding available for various things. You've got the individuals themselves and their career motivations and what drives them and gets them, and how does that align, and not always perfectly aligned with organizational objectives. And then you've got training providers who are operating against certain frameworks, who have another set of criteria. And it was really the opportunity to bring those things together that felt, and demonstrating we were able to do that, to generate just a far better experience for everybody, but actually aligning those objectives as well.
And has from setting it up and having that kind of passion to do it, creating it, setting it up, watching S2 grow, has your role changed enormously as well within that kind of, let's be honest, relatively short time span as a company goes? Like, it's been a quick journey, but has your role changed as well? The kind of things that you have to do, Simon?
Yeah, most definitely. And in a great way, as you've said. I mean, the response to what we're doing has been terrific. And I think that's governed to a degree the change in, you know, from my perspective, obviously being involved in everything from sort of learning frameworks to setting up initial sort of meetings and to sort of how we frame that and bringing the team together to now really looking at sort of making sure that we're setting that vision and that we have that sort of clarity across the business, and that then looking at the sort of the partnerships, building the right team of people that we want to be, you know, the maintaining that. So again, that sort of continuity of what feels S2. And then actually, yeah, just keeping us and helping us sort of navigate that path and making sure that everything we're doing is contributing to that mission.
What have been the biggest hurdles and challenges for you to lean into and solve in terms of sustaining that growth? Is it, there's that truism, working on the business or in the business, right? But is it that kind of constantly thinking ahead about the next partnership, the next learning piece? What have been those hurdles and challenges, Simon, that you've had to address?
Well, I think for us, it's been an interesting one. So there's the sort of internal challenges, which are, you know, finding the people. And we've been, you know, terrifically fortunate in terms of obviously being able to draw on existing networks and as a sort of quality in the market there. And then also sort of as we've brought people in through really good and structured processes, having the sort of the value that comes from just an excellent team. I think some of the challenges that we felt in the market are actually, you know, those that get it, really get it, and we're on a way and that's driving the sort of the engine in the business. What's interesting is how that, and it comes back to that sort of readiness to change, but actually that sort of the, how people lock into the familiar. And so it's almost a sort of mindset of, well, we know it's suboptimal, but we've kind of done it like this for a long way. So it's just that sort of chipping away at that mindset in the market that just says, yeah, I know it's been like that for a while. That just doesn't mean it needs to be like that next year. You could do so much more for your people. But it's just a, and we get it, and that's fine. And it, but that's consistently that sort of the confidence that people have around change and how comfortable they feel about sort of trying things that are not wildly different, but could potentially generate a much better result.
But that need to have to go and educate the market before people can understand that this is, it's not just another training program. It's got a different way of thinking about that. That's an enormous amount of energy from what we've seen from all the kind of SaaS businesses and yours as well. Yeah. That takes an enormous amount of energy to educate and then sell on top of that education process. So have you developed, like, are there tips and tricks that you've developed to do that? Do you rely on word of mouth? Is it getting into sort of trade bodies? Is it LinkedIn? Like, how have you done that kind of education piece in the market side?
Yeah, no, well, I mean, you know, given that we don't have infinite resources, it's not really in our gift to re-educate an entire market. And so we've been very deliberate about, I mean, organizationally, we consider ourselves design-led. We are very focused on what we can do, what is the problem that we're solving, how do we validate that is the issue that we're solving, how do we validate the right responses to that program and sort of iterate to that to make sure that we're actually addressing what people need in a marketplace. And that process means that we're fortunate that, as I say, for a large number of people, as we've designed the programs and we design the sort of experiences that we have, there's already a group of people there who get it and are ready to sort of accept that there's new opportunities out there and they're prepared to bring those in. So that, and I think, you know, we get such an extraordinary amount of referral work from people who've experienced all the stuff that we're doing into others that we're, you know, that's fueling the growth currently. I think there'll be a moment where we need to sort of formulate that, those things. But, and that's part of the brand work that we've done together with you as well. It's around having that continuity of message.
I mean, we've witnessed that our side, Simon. Like Ben, who's our head of strategy, who's on your course, is everybody's itching to know what he's learned. He's already talking about it. There are two people in the organization where if there were infinite funds, would be on your course straight away. Ben, Simon. So that once somebody understands it and sees the value of it, their desire to communicate the value they've experienced beyond what they thought they were going to is extremely high. That's a very powerful thought, that thought that actually they were going to do something. It's that bit beyond what they thought they were going to get that makes them so excited about what they can, that they want to share it with other people. He wants to evangelize it without being asked to, which is very powerful, Simon. You've locked onto something there.
That's very, very good to hear as well. And thank you for that. And to be aware, I mean, one of the things and partly, you know, we know that exceptional things exist, but part of the values that, and part of our whole mission is to broaden the access to that. And so where we do, it's not our starting point, but where we can, we align programs where there is public funding available to make these sort of things and these experiences, this sort of learning available to more than just the 0.01% who can afford to apply to MIT. Fantastic that you can come and learn from people from MIT or teachers from other leading institutions and organizations without having to sort of, you know, rob a bank to do it.
So in the growth of your business, of your brand, S2, when you're faced with a challenge or a problem, you know, you have a series of tools that make up you, Simon, that you've learned on your journey. But do you have a particular way of, like, how you unpack a problem, like a Simon methodology? Do you look at it? Do you try and take all the emotion out of it? Do you break it down into small pieces? Like, do you have a way of looking at a problem that helps you break that problem down into something manageable? So, you know, whether it's like, you know, working through and understanding what we're conveying from a branding perspective, or thinking about expanding to a new sector or creating a new program. Do you have a kind of methodology that you, do you have a process or a methodology that you go through, Simon?
Yeah. And it's an interesting one you asked, because we apply it to everything across the business. And that is, I've alluded to that sort of design-led business, but that design's thinking. So for us, design is a real strategic business tool. And what that really means is that the product and services that we're making really align to the market that we're aiming to serve. And so whether that's sort of persona templates, whether that's taking people through a journey around the value proposition, what the service blueprint looks like, so that we're capturing all of the points of interaction for somebody, who are the different actors at different areas, where are the failure points, how do we try and take something that might feel like an okay experience, but then say, well, you know, periodically looking at something that's working and saying, yeah, but how do we, it's the Y Combinator thing, you know, if it's already 5-star, that's great, but how would you make it 6-star? What would that look like? And you know, because we have that, and it's a very visual process, it allows people to participate in that without it feeling like a sort of, I guess, the familiar corporate sort of round table thing where everything gets slightly dumbed down into sort of, you know, sort of familiar cliches.
Yeah. And where in that kind of solving those problems and moving the business forwards successfully, financially, strategically, all those things, where does brand sit in that mix for you, the brand that we do? So you talk about design in its greatest form, which is designing programs, designing outcomes, which I think is that word travels so far. But where does brand sit into that mix for you? Is there a moment where brand helps you elevate and succeed? Or is there a moment where you know brand is something you need to address? What were those kind of moments and those friction points for you, Simon?
So absolutely recognize the value of brand, you know, because your brand does the work for you when you're not in the room. I mean, we'd get that. That is so important that you can be there. I mean, as a very small entity, obviously, it's slightly less important on the basis that, you know, ultimately you're involved in so much of it that, you know, individually, you're effectively people's interaction with the brand. But as the organization grows and as those interactions and the volume of interactions, whether that's from existing learners, whether that's from team members, whether it's potential clients, however, that sort of brand really has to work for you as an organization and help drive that momentum. And for us, it's making sure, you know, quality at scale is so important. You know, for us, it has to mean that the sort of the experience that somebody has, their interaction with the organization, that sort of the brand construct helps to ensure that, you know, that feels right. It means that as people come into the business, they can understand the journey, they understand why things are a certain way, why we're using certain iconography, what it means in terms of the way that we communicate. And I think that, the power of brand is absolutely part of that whole process. It's about enriching that experience.
When we went through that brand process with you and with your team, were you watching out for people's reactions to certain things? So, for example, when we were talking about the messaging hierarchy, or we were talking about, you know, the way that you presented the offer to a candidate, were there particular bits that you were like, if that bit isn't right, it really isn't going to work? Were there particular bits, or was it just the connectivity that really mattered, Simon?
I think the connectivity is so important. Absolutely. I think in terms of, and thank you, structure, for coordinating and taking us through that process, because
we loved it. It was great.
It was good. And you know, high points for everybody, you know, when you're working so hard, it's the joy of having the structure to be creative. And I think, when you talk about individual deliverable, I mean, it's so important that the brand and that sort of the continuity with the mission, why we're here, what we're trying to do, that all of those things, there's a congruence there with how people are feeling about the business from a day to day, and that's expressed in everything that we put into the market, because then you have that authenticity. Everyone does it. I mean, one particular deliverable, but by, I think, because we had the most fun with it, but the protest speeches, I think, was a fantastic example where you're able to help people to connect emotionally and articulate emotionally what they care about, or what the brand means to them, or what it could mean to them in terms of the work that we're doing. And I think that, I mean, we've got such a great team together, so I'm forever interested in all of the stuff that they can come up with as well. But actually, the quality of output from that and how that sort of helped to shape things. I mean, that will be a memorable session for everybody that was involved for the rest of their career. Yeah. It was a moment of glory. So thank you for that whole thing.
So that's a really interesting thing, because I remember coming to you asked me to come speak at your Christmas event just to kind of recap what we'd done together, which I thought was lovely. And it was a pleasure to do. But it did strike me as I left that room, that I left a room that was kind of full of magic. It was full of like personality and people and joy and just a kind of celebration. And I felt quite, when I left, I felt like I'd left something really precious behind and I wasn't part of it anymore. But actually, was that process of doing the brand and involving everybody, which I think was to your point about design, I think you had to have everybody involved in it to design it right. But was there something about having everyone involved? Did it bond people together as well? It felt like it did. But was that the reality, Simon? Because it felt like you all became a tighter team from having gone through that brand process together.
No, I think it's absolutely part of the outcome of that, because you know, the joy of S2 and our trajectory has been obviously moving fast, people doing lots, achieving huge amounts and impacting hundreds of people. While we have regular touch points, while we use those design processes to involve multiple people, different parts of the business in the things that we're doing, because the brand is such a immediate representation of the organization, to have everybody involved in that and feel involved in that. And then because of the way you incorporated all of that content and all of those thoughts into what was generated at the other end, I think did absolutely everybody could see themselves in the brand. And that's hugely, hugely important. And I think it achieved exactly what you'd said. I mean, I think we felt like we got on already, but it brought everybody together. And interestingly, since then, we've seen the value that whole exercise has done in terms of helping people who weren't with us at that point and the new joiners since, who have been able to really adopt and understand that, and that everybody across the organization can articulate what the key elements of that mean and what sits within the brand and the hierarchy there.
And what are going to be the next kind of like hurdles for you, like expanding the business, growing into a different geography, different sectors, you know, different kinds of organizations that become targets? Like where does the brand need to flex and mature next to? Does it need to continue to have this kind of slightly challenger aesthetic around accessing, you know, talent in the business that wants to learn about, you know, environmental concerns or the stuff that Ben's doing from us around innovation? But then when it reaches a player that maybe stands on a corporate, does the brand need to stretch in those different directions? Like what are the next kind of hurdles for you as you see it for the brand to stretch into?
I think it is and deliberate in design of the brand, and a lot of what you brought into that is that it has the capability to scale from what we've created. And for us, absolutely, the growth and the communities that we're engaging as the tutor pool grows or different elements are evolved in the sort of the teaching, the client group changes or sort of evolves or other in terms of sort of growing in terms of the different organizations. Absolutely, the different geographies. So, I mean, quite deliberately, it's about being able to cross cultural borders and cross sort of those sort of things, that those elements that were already sort of incorporated even through the process that we went through, but we're already starting to see the need, you know, for us to be spending time thinking about, okay, so how do we make sure that really resonates with, you know, that particular group or where that client's taking us or what we'd love to do with this program or this project. So I mean, it constantly evolving, but from a really solid platform, I think.
So you've been through this process with us and we super enjoyed it, but what advice would you give somebody else thinking about undertaking a rebrand and positioning work? What should they look out for? What advice would you give somebody undertaking a similar process, Simon?
I'd say trust the process, and I would, and that includes not trying to rush it. So I think having the time between sort of sessions for everybody to digest, think properly about things, and as I say, to really fully participate in the various different exercises. It's not huge demands on people's times, but the richness of having somebody to spend, you know, half an hour, really thinking about how they feel about something and the richness that sort of provides to the process. So I think for me, trust the process, work with a structure or somebody, you know, who's capable to take you through this and with a real clarity around what the end result is going to look like. And I think, you know, don't try and rush it.
What are the big lessons that you've taken from your journey to here? Like, you've done such an incredible job of breathing life into this thing, forming relationships with entities and bodies and institutions that allow you to create these programs, get people in, get them out, find the trip people to do the training. There's a lot that's been constructed to make this thing happen. But what's been the kind of best decisions you've made and the biggest successes you've experienced in this process, Simon?
Well, successes, I mean, there's obviously a sort of very literal validation with, I've been fortunate to have signed some relatively large contracts in my time, and that's useful. I think in terms of decisions, it's probably less a big decision. It's more a sort of the sort of philosophy in the business, really, is that we're all, and we talk about this a lot in the team, but we're all terrifically lucky to be in a position to do what we do. And if we're not using that to make the world a better place, then we're really, really wasting our time. So if we're going to do that, you know, how does that language affect how some that's going to make somebody feel? Is that going to make that better? Is you know, back to that side thing, you know, if we're going to do, you know, we could do a fantastic conference somewhere on the sort of thing, but actually what's that? How is that really helping? You know, what are the sorts of programs, you know, who are the partners that we really want to work with? What are the sort of people who will make the difference in the business? So I think it's just guiding, you know, are we making this world a better place? You know, if we're not creating the world we want to inhabit, then, you know, more fool us.
And do you carve out time quite systematically to think about those kind of strategic choices you have to make? Do you prioritize working out where the kind of the future horizon is? And just to your point just now about what kind of institutions do we really want to connect with, a partner with? We don't want to accept anybody. We want to target people we actually want to do, you know, agreements with. Do you consciously spend time on that kind of forward planning, Simon? Is that something you're quite mindful of?
Yeah, absolutely. And we do that together. I mean, that's something that, we absolutely have a view in terms of how that feels. I, through structured meetings in the diary, and then we'll have all hands meetings as well, where we can just bring people, you know, involve everybody in some of those decisions where it's appropriate, without sort of getting back to a position or getting to any sort of place where you're designing by committee. It's more about giving people the opportunity to say, like, this is the shape, this is the emergent sort of thing. Does this feel right? We're excited about it. You know, how do you want to contribute? You know, it's those sort of things that, so structured meetings, and then we have sort of unstructured meetings that are sort of 15 more to help us do that.
Ad hoc and informal. Yeah, exactly.
And
is there a piece of really great advice that you've been given that you hold true? Like, if somebody says something to you that you hold as a thought that helps guide you in those kind of high moments and low moments of being in business, is there a piece of advice someone's given you that you could share?
There is one that sticks in mind, and I think it's pertinent. I think it's and it is as simple as just testing barriers. And if you believe there's only two types of barriers, and those are there are real ones, and for good reasons. Some things have actual barriers there, but there are also just perceived barriers, and they are there in our own heads, and we create them on the basis of, you know, our culture, our upbringing, a blueprint we have for the world, or whatever that those sort of things are, that can often be quite limiting. And I think as there's an opportunity, I think, for people in the right way, and there are right and wrong ways of doing it, but just to test those limiting barriers, and just to sort of say, well, okay, is that real? Or, you know, should I ask for that promotion? Should I, you know, am I ready to take on a division? Should I be able to be, you know, could I be the person that looks after those sort of things? And actually just testing some of those barriers, just to sort of see whether actually with a bit of support around you, there's no barrier there at all. All that was just an opportunity that you just needed to test by. You didn't need to wait 2 years for that conversation. You could have just done it, you know, straight away. You know, those are
That piece of advice, actually taken to its logical point, that feels very like what Estu is about. It's like, actually, this is training available to people that maybe thought it wasn't for them. And actually, they can achieve huge things in their lives if they just push a little bit at what they believe is they are capable or not capable of doing. So that's absolutely, that connects completely with the philosophy of the company, Simon. And I think, you know, you and your colleagues, you've created S2, that takes courage, but you created something that is having, from what I can see, quite a significant impact on people that might otherwise not access this kind of education. It has a real purpose and a real reason for being. And that's one of the reasons why we're so proud of the work we've done for it, actually. And watching Ben telling people about what he's been learning, that's very special because no one's asking him, he's just sharing. That's quite something, Simon.
That's great. That's just brilliant to hear. And thank you. And thank you for inviting me today. I mean, this is a real joy. I mean, you know, what's not to love about talking about the things that we do? And an opportunity to thank you as well, and the whole structure team. You've been brilliant. It's, as ever, just been fantastic working with you. I think we've all learned more about ourselves as well through the process. But as you said, we've got just a fantastic positioning point now. I think we're all clear about how we describe that, and really looking forward to the future.
Well, thank you, Simon, for joining me. It's always a huge pleasure to spend time with you. We're very aware of how busy you are and how fast S2 is growing. So I'm very grateful for your time. And I always love chatting with you. And I hope we get to speak again soon. But thank you, Simon.
Brilliant. Cheers, Jesse.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to join us next time on The B Word.